don't need any rocks crying out around. I don't know about you. I don't want any rocks crying out around me. I want to be praising him my own self. Father, we do thank you for being our God, our creator. We thank you for being our savior, our Lord. We thank you that you have indeed been a mighty good God. Thank you that you have blessed us far beyond what we are even worthy of, dear God. So thank you for your grace, your unmerited favor. Thank you for your mercy, you not allowing things to happen to us that really should have happened to us. So we thank you for your grace and your mercy. The psalmist says, surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So we thank you, dear God, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you now, dear God, for the opportunity to open up the word of God and ask you to speak to our hearts and minds. So even today, dear God, even now during this preaching time, that you would speak to us, dear God, that we would not only be just hearers of the word of God, but we would be doers of the word of God. Let us leave here today, dear God, more in love with Jesus than when we first came. Let us leave here today more surrendered to you, dear Lord, that we might indeed glorify you and make a difference in the people that we come in contact with. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace. Speak now, dear God, for we, your servants, need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Get a Lord a hand clap of praise just for the privilege to praise him, to worship him with other believers. This is a privilege to be able to worship the Lord with other believers, other Christian friends. I want to greet all of y'all in the name of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good to see each and every one of you here today. I'm going to ask you to stand, take your Bibles if you have your Bibles, but it's also in your bulletin. This is my last sermon in this series, this spiritual warfare series. So I'm coming out of Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read, all of the scripture passages since we read Isaiah 53 earlier. I'll just read 6. I'll tell you what, let's just read this together. It's in your bulletin, but also you have it there in your Bibles. If you're going to read it, just read from the bulletin, or we'll be reading from the same translation. But let us read these verses together. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 18 again, and this is my focus verse this morning. Verse 18 says, praying always with all power and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. My thought this morning is, the battle is won on your knees. The battle is won on your knees. You may be seated. The battle is won on your knees. It happens after you pray. The battle is won on your knees. The battle, this spiritual battle, is won on your knees. The thing that frightens the devil the most It's when the child of God gets on their knees. It's when the child of God prays. That's when the demons in hell shudder. When the child of God prays. As I conclude this spiritual warfare series, this putting on the right armor, putting on the full armor of God series, if you don't make prayer, if you don't put on prayer as you're putting on your armor, you're going to be living a defeated Christian life. If you don't make prayer a priority in your life, you won't be able to walk in victory. You can put on the full armor, the whole armor, the entire armor. You can put it on throughout the day. You can shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can put on the belt of truth. You can put on the breastplate of righteousness. You can take up the shield of faith. You can put on the helmet of salvation. You can even take up the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. But if you're not bathing all that in prayer, you're still going to live a defeated Christian life. If you're not bathing in prayer, you're still going to be bound, bruised, and beaten by the enemy, by the devil. You got to pray, beloved. You and I got to pray. We got to pray fervently. We got to pray often and regularly. You and I have to be people of prayer. We have to be a church of prayer. Verse 18 of this text, it's interesting as Paul, as he writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, and as he deals with spiritual warfare in chapter 6, he pretty much concludes it. He binds it all together, if you will, with prayer. After he mentions all the different pieces of armor, then he mentions, by all means, he says, pray. Verse 18 again, he said, praying always. One translation said, pray at all times. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, prayer for you and for me should be a 24/7 type of thing. I'm not saying you got to go in the corner and be on your knees and have your eyes closed all the time to pray. No, you can watch and pray. You can pray as you're driving down the road. You can pray as you're in a meeting at work. You can always be in an attitude of prayer. And we are definitely called to be in a attitude of prayer. The Bible tells us in several places to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. To pray continually and fervently. To pray. Pray, that's our primary way of communicating to God. You know, we read God's word, we listen to him. But even as we pray, when we pray, you and I, when we pray, we shouldn't just do all the talking. Sometimes in prayer, just listen and be silent. Let the Lord speak to you in his still, small voice. So praying is communicating with God. Careful study and evaluation of this one verse, verse 18, suggests at least six different things that you and I should incorporate in our prayer life. This is not an exhaustive list, but in this one verse, we can at least pull out or extrapolate six different things that you and I can use in our everyday prayer life. So if you're taking notes, get ready to jot these down out of this one verse, verse 18. One thing verse 18 suggests is you and I should have variety in our prayer life. Variety in prayer. Variety in our prayer life. Variety. Because it talks about all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. Supplication means different types of requests. So in our prayer life, you all have probably heard me say this before, a good acronym as we talk about prayer, variety in our prayer life is ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS, A-C-T-S. In your prayer life, in my prayer life, rather than just coming to God and always just asking God for stuff, now we're pretty good on that part of prayer life, right? We pretty good at coming to God and say, God, I need this, or help me out of this situation. We pretty good. Now it's time, you know, we should pray those type of prayers sometimes, but we need to have some variety in our prayer life. So the ACTS, the A-C-T-S acronym, the A stands for adoration. Adoration. When you are praying to God, sometimes just adore God. Sometimes just articulate who God is. Say, God, you are omniscient, dear God. You are all knowing. God, you are omnipresent. You are everywhere all at the same time. God, you are our creator. In our class this morning during Sunday Blast, when we were talking about evangelism and sharing the gospel, the focus, one of the main focus today was God is our creator. So as you are praying to God, just adore him. Say, God, I'm glad that you are a God of grace. I'm glad you're a God of mercy. I'm glad, dear God, that you are a God who is long suffering. I'm glad you are a healer. I'm glad you are a God of peace. I'm glad, dear God, you are the God of the Bible. I'm glad that you just mention some of the attributes of God. So God, I just adore you for just who you are. Not necessarily even yet for what he's done for us, but just who he is. He's God all by himself. And that alone deserves you and me to just adore him in our prayer life. So God, I'm just glad that I can be able to talk to you, dear God. I'm glad that you are my God. So we ought to adore him in our prayer life. But also, as we talk about variety in prayer, in our prayer life, the C in ACTS, C in Acts is confession. Confession of sin. Confession of sin. It's always good as you and I are praying, as you and I are approaching a holy God, to ask the Lord to shine his light on us, to shine that the Holy Spirit will examine our hearts and minds. And let's change that lyric in our song, which says, Lord, if you find something in me, take it out. Let's change that. Just say, Lord, when you find something in me, take it out. If you find some anger, take it out and put some love. If you find anxiety and stress, take it out and put some peace. If you find unforgiveness, take it out and put forgiveness. When you find something in me, dear Lord, take it out. Show it to me and I will confess it. When you find pride, take it out and put humility. So let's be specific even as we confess prayers. You know, if you know you lied during the day, say, Lord, forgive me for that lie I said earlier. Don't just say just generic prayer. Lord, forgive me for sin. That's okay. But sometimes if you know the specific sin, name that thing, whatever it is, name it. So Lord, forgive me for that evil thought I had today. Lord, forgive me for those words I said today. Forgive me for that gossiping tongue, whatever it might be. So Lord, forgive me for that thing, for that sin. And you know what? 1 John 1:9 tells us that we just confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God said, so you confess it, I can clean it up. I can forgive you for it. It depends on what it is. Some of the consequences might remain, but he does forgive us for our sins. Oh, that's another reason. That's another reason. That moves on to the T. That's another reason to thank him right there, that he is a God who forgives us of our sins. Oh, let me say that again. He's a God who forgives us. That's not a license to sin, but he said he's a God who forgives us of our sins. So we ought to thank him. Just thank him for that. Thank you, dear God, that you didn't let me die in my sins. Thank you, dear God, you didn't let me go to hell. I was on my way to hell, but you interrupted me. You intercepted me. You stopped me and saved my soul. So I'm going to thank you for my salvation. I'm going to thank you that I'm your child. I'm glad I'm a child of the King. And by the way, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for putting some food on the table. Thank you for putting clothes on my back. Thank you for letting me wake up with reasonable health and strength. Thank you that as the saints of old, thank you that you woke up this morning sound and in my right mind. See, some people didn't wake up in their right mind this morning. Some people woke up this morning and ended up having to go out to Moccasin Bend or at the Valley Hospital or somewhere. So you ought to be thankful that God woke you up in your right mind. Now let's be honest. Some of us already have committed a sin. We hadn't even told God, thank you yet today. We hadn't even said, God, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for letting me get here safely. Thank you for all these things you've done for me just today. Just for these 3 or 4 hours we've been alive, been awake this morning. I know next month is Thanksgiving. We can start thanking him today. We don't have to wait till the 4th Thursday in November to say thank you. Do I have a witness right there? We ought to best be saying thank you, Lord, I thank you, Lord, I thank you, I thank you. Maybe the person sitting next to you might not want to thank the Lord, but still, you thank him. Thanks, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Put some variety in our prayer life. As we talk about variety, then of course we get to the S in Acts, A-C-T-S. Supplications, requests, interceding for others. Yes, we are told, God said, bring all your cares to me because I care for you. It's nothing wrong with asking God the desires of your heart. Matter of fact, God said, delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. So it's nothing wrong with asking, making requests before God. I'm just saying, let's balance it. Let that not be the only thing we do in prayer time. Also, another good thing, beloved, as we are praying, pray for others sometimes. Don't just pray for yourself. Just don't pray for your stuff. Pray for somebody else. Pray for another brother or sister in Christ. Pray for that coworker that you know y'all go at it every day almost. Pray for them. Pray for that boss, that unruly boss on your job. Or if you are a boss, maybe pray for that worker that's under you that don't want to do an honest day's work every day. Whatever it is, pray for others. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for those that are lost, those who don't know Jesus, who don't have a personal relationship with God. So pray for others. Pray for others. So let there be variety in our prayer life. But also out of verse 18, as I hasten on, another thing we find in verse 18 is there should be frequency in our prayer life. Frequency. Frequency. In that one verse, it uses the word all or derivative of all about four different times. It says praying always or praying at all times, one translation says. With all prayer. Then it talks about all perseverance and all the saints. So you and I, we should be frequent in prayer, frequency in prayer life. Pray a lot, in other words. Pray often and then pray some more. Pray a lot, pray often, and then pray some more. I don't think any of us can be guilty of praying too much. You can't pray too much. I mean, as you're doing a certain task, you can still, once again, be praying about it and be in an attitude of prayer. I mean, we are to pray frequently. Another thing we learn from this one verse is we talk about, as we put on the full armor of God, how we should be praying. We should experience submission in our prayer life. Submission. Submission in verse 18, submission in our prayer life, submitting to the will of God, submitting to Christ in our prayer life. Verse 18 talks about in the spirit, capital S, talking about in the spirit. So we should be submitting in our prayer life. You might want to write this down. Praying is not trying to conform God to our will, but it's God working in us to conform us to his will. Skirt, rewind. Let me repeat that. Let me say it again. Prayer is not trying to conform God to our will, but it's God working in us to conform us to his will. Jesus taught us that, right? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he taught us that. He taught it's not about me trying to conform God to my will, but him conforming me to his will. Because when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, I pray that you would remove this bitter cup from me. I pray that I would not have to go to the cross, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's discipling us, right? We ought to follow him, right? So what a perfect pattern in prayer life. Jesus said, hey, God, I'm not trying to get you to change your mind per se. Here's my request, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Like this brother by the name of Robert Law, I saw this quote this past week. Good little quote. You may want to jot it down. This is Robert Law. He said, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. So as you and I pray, we need to learn to be submissive in our prayer life. Submit to the will of the Father. Submit to the will of God. It's been said that we ought to pray to the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. Pray to God the Father through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit. Even Romans 8, 26 and 27 speaks of how the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes for us. As you and I pray, beloved, think about it. The Holy Spirit of God who's inside of us, Romans 8, 26 and 27 reminds us he intercedes. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been there? Sometimes you can't even hardly get a prayer out. So sometimes your situation is so rough and things are so tough on you mentally and spiritually, maybe even physically, you can't even hardly get the words out. But Romans 8 said, don't worry about this. So the Holy Spirit who's in you, he searches your heart and mind and he can get the word out. Oh, and by the way, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. He's making intercession for us. He's praying for us. So as you pray and as I pray to God, we're covered. The Holy Spirit is interceding and Jesus is interceding. I think that prayer can get through if the Holy Spirit is interceding and Jesus himself is interceding. It's good to ask others to pray for you. That's cool. That's good. That's straight. That's good. But sometimes they might can't get a prayer through, so to speak. So sometimes maybe mama and daddy can't even get a prayer through. Or brother or sister so-and-so can't get a prayer. But Jesus can always get a prayer through. Jesus can always get a prayer through. Can I have a witness? Can I get a witness? He can always get a prayer through. So we need variety in our prayer life. We need frequency in our prayer life. We need to be submissive in our prayer life. Fourthly, from this one verse, and like I said, this is not all the types of things we should be or do in our prayer life, but just a few from this one verse. It speaks to the mindset or the manner we should have in our prayer life. The mindset, the type of mindset or the type of manner you and I should have in our prayer life. It says in verse 18, to be watchful. To be alert. To be watchful. To be alert. Don't be like the disciples, you know, when Jesus was getting ready to get, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, y'all remember them? And Jesus said, you all stay over here and pray for me a little while. I'm going to go over there and pray. And when he came back, these jokers were sleeping. They were sleeping. They weren't too watchful in their prayer life. And Jesus went back and did the same thing. He came back again. They were sleeping. And Jesus told them, hey, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So be watchful, be alert, be sober in your prayer life. Nehemiah, when he went back to rebuild the walls, it talked about how he was praying and watching. Nehemiah was praying on one hand and had a sword in the other hand. So be sober, be watchful, be vigilant in your prayer life. Also, fifthly, from this verse, be persistent in your prayer life. Be persistent, it says, the latter part of verse 18 says, all perseverance. Be persistent. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes people pray for something one time, and if God doesn't come through, if it doesn't happen, they just give up. No. Be persistent. Once again, it's not like we're trying to twist God's arm, but we are to be persistent in our prayer life, regular in our prayer life. The Bible says, knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Those words, those verbs mean that's a continual type of action. We need to be persistent in our prayer life. Don't just pray one time for one thing. Well, that didn't happen, so I'm going to give up on that. No, keep on praying. And God either reveal to you that you're praying for the wrong thing or watch this. Sometimes maybe the situation doesn't change. I often say this, but your attitude toward the situation will change. So don't give up so quickly. Be persistent. Any of us in here that are parents and have either little kids or older kids or adult kids, all of us probably, let's see if we're going to tell the truth and shame the devil. There have been a time when one of our little ones asked us for something, whatever it might have been something to eat, might have been something they wanted you to buy, or whatever that you can maybe afford. And at first you said no, and that little joker or that little miss joker just kept on asking and kept on asking and kept on, but you finally, well, come on, man, we're going to go buy this. Just wear you down. So if little Johnny or little Susie can be persistent in asking us, their parents, for a certain tangible thing, surely we as children of God can be persistent in our prayer life. Remember, once again, we got variety in our prayer life now, but we should be persistent in our prayer life. The text says all perseverance. It says with all perseverance. They weren't just praying a little bit. Do y'all remember that time when Peter was in jail? Over in the book of Acts, Peter was in jail. And it said the people of God got together and went to their house. They began to pray and labor in prayer that God would take care of Peter and get him out of there somehow. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And the Bible said God sent an angel down there to let brother Peter out of jail. You all know that story. And Peter got out of jail, and he thought he was dreaming, and he got on out of jail, and he went on over to the prayer meeting house and knocked on the door, and they looked out. They didn't even believe it was a Peter. They didn't even think it was a Peter. It's his ghost. It's somebody else. No, this is angel, brother. This is angel. No, it was Peter. So answer to your prayer. So be persistent in your prayer. Amen. Sixth thing out of this one verse, the sixth thing. We want to once again have frequency in our prayer life, variety in our prayer life. We want to submit to God's will in our prayer life. Also, we want to have the right mindset in our prayer life, and also want to be persistent in our prayer life. But also, this kind of goes on with number one: pray for all the saints. Pray for others. See, Paul, as he's writing this, we're going to read verse 19 and 20 in just a second. Paul said, hey, pray for me. Paul said, pray for me. It's once again, there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray for you. I've heard some people say, and I really kind of chuckle inside, but well, I ain't going to really ask he or she to pray for me. They, you know, as if, you know, they're not right or whatever. I'm thinking, well, if they're so bad, it ain't going to hurt them praying for you then, because they can't get a prayer through anyway if they don't know the Lord. I've also heard people say, be careful who you ask to pray for you. No, I'm asking anybody to pray for me if they can get a prayer through. If they can't get a prayer through, brothers and sisters, I don't have to worry about it anyway then. Y'all hear people say that. I ain't going to ask him to pray. I ain't going to ask her to pray for me because so. Well, if they can get a prayer through. If they so messed up and jacked up and their relationship ain't right, they not getting a prayer through anyway then. But it's okay to pray for others. It's okay to pray for others. We should pray for others. Think about it, saints. Think about it. Before you came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody was praying for you. Somebody praying for you now. Mama, daddy, grandmama, big mama, or the Sunday school teacher down the street. Somebody was praying for us. So we need to pray for others. We have that great opportunity to pray for others. That's what Paul says. See, once again, you win on your knees. It happens after you pray. The battle is won on your knees. Listen to what Paul asked him to pray for him, though. This really blows my mind in verse 19 and 20. Paul is in prison. Now, let me set the context. Paul is in prison. So it's not like he's sitting in some resort or he's just chilling somewhere. I mean, he's in prison. But look at what he prays in verse 19 and 20. Look at what he prays. He said, y'all pray, make supplication for all the saints, latter part of verse 18, and all the saints, and me too. And pray for me, Paul says. What do you want us to pray for you, brother Paul? That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. That's why I'm in jail. That's why I'm in prison. That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Oh my goodness. Paul is in prison. You know, if I was writing this, probably, you know, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit was guiding him, but this is in Paul what he wanted to be said too. I might be saying something like, pray that I get out of this place, this dungeon, this jail. Pray that they treat me right while I'm in here. Pray that they don't try to, you know, no police brutality while I'm in here. Pray that they treat me right. Now, Paul said, forget all that. Paul said, just pray that I might be bold in my witness for Christ. Pray that I don't get timid in my testimony. Pray that I still stand strongly for the Lord. I know that's even why I'm in here, because they don't like me talking about Jesus. But let me keep on talking about Jesus. Pray that I won't shiver up and be quiet and change my message. Pray that I keep telling folks about the Lord. That was his prayer. What a prayer request. Pray that I keep on telling folks about the Lord. He's not praying that he might be released or protected or none of that, or mistreated. He said, no, just pray that I keep being bold in my witness for the Lord. That's a great prayer request that Paul asked the church at Ephesus to pray for him about. What are you asking people to pray for you about? What are you asking people to pray for you about? What do you ask people when you say, pray for me and you fill in the blank? What are you asking them? One thing you got to ask others that, hey, God will give you the mouth to be bold for Jesus. That's a good prayer for Paul. And that's a good prayer for me and you, right? We all know as Christians, oftentimes, sometimes we, many of us anyway, don't really be, now I'm not saying be obnoxious. I'm not saying be, you know, just kind of quote unquote over the top, but many of us could be more bold in our witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. Many of us could be more bold about our witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. Many of us can be more bold with our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All of us. So that's a good prayer request. Say, brothers and sisters, pray that I be, you know, God give me the words to say when in those opportunities to present themselves, which they often do at work, in home, in our communities, to share, tell people about Jesus. At the very minimum, tell people about what the Lord has done for you. I say, at the very minimum, you might not be a theologian, but you can at least tell people what Jesus has done for you. And we can at least tell people what Jesus is doing for us even right now. And we can at least tell people what Jesus is going to do for us. Oh, there's a bold witness right there. So you can't tell me God has brought me a mighty long way. He's a good God, a great king. And he's watching over me even right now. And guess what? Tomorrow and next week and next month, he got some other stuff prepared for me. Oh, as a matter of fact, he even got a heavenly home prepared for me. So I can tell you what he has done for me. I can tell you what he is doing for me. And I can tell you what he's going to do for me. So that's a good prayer request. I pray that I would be bold in my testimony about the Lord. I could take this microphone and go around the sanctuary this morning. All of us have some testimonies of how the Lord has brought us through, how the Lord has saved us, how the Lord is keeping us, how the Lord is watching over us, and how the Lord is providing for us, how the Lord got us out of a situation where we didn't see no way out, didn't see the way out, but God made the way out. So pray that the Lord will have you being bold in your testimony, your witness for him. Pray like maybe in Colossians 1, you don't have to turn there now, but Colossians 1 verse 9, wonderful prayer as we talk about variety in our prayer life. In that prayer, Paul writes that you and I should pray that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will, the Lord's will. Talks about praying for wisdom and spiritual understanding. Pray that your life will fully please the Lord. This is a different type of prayer. Pray that the Lord, that your life, my life would fully please the Lord. Pray that you will increase in the knowledge of God. Pray that you will be fruitful in every good work. This is all right out of the Bible, Colossians 1. Pray that you will be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Pray for patience and long suffering with joy, the scriptures tell us. And then in Colossians 1, it mentions about giving thanks. It mentions about giving thanks. I know next month, once again, it's Thanksgiving, but as a child of God, you and I should stay in that mode, Deacon Daniel, of being, Thanksgiving. We shouldn't have to wait for the turkey and dressing and for the, potato pie and all that stuff to come. We should be thanking God all the time anyway. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. I say every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. I was reading something just this past week, and it was a good reminder, how oftentimes many of us can complain about many different things. And the author, the writer was saying, one thing to start doing daily. And I said, that's a good little idea. Some of you all might already do it. He said, just have a gratitude page. Start writing down daily those things that you are grateful for. Those things that God is doing for you, those things that you are grateful for. He called it a gratitude page. He said, whenever you want to start complaining and all of this, just think about, wait a minute. God has been good to me. Wait a minute. God had, things might not be quite the way I want them, but things are much better than what they really could or should be. As a matter of fact, God has blessed me better than I deserve. So just maybe have a gratitude page. The battle is won on your knees. Moses recognized that over in Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says how Joshua was down in the valley fighting a battle, leading the people of God against the Amalekites. And Moses went up on a mountain, the Bible says. He went up on a mountain and Moses began to pray. And the Bible talks about how as long as Moses' arms were outstretched to the heavens, the people of God were winning the battle. But then Moses, he would get a little tired. And so finally, a couple of brothers came and helped Moses raise up his hands. And the Bible says, as long as Moses prayed to God, as long up on the mountain, prayed to God, guess what? Down in the battle in the valley, guess what? God's people won. They won. Why? Because a man of God, a person of God, was praying to God on the mountaintop. So the battle in the valley was won by God's people. Moses, he understood about the importance of praying. I mean, the battle is won on your knees. I think King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19, you can turn there if you want to, in 2 Kings 19, King Hezekiah, I'm just talking about how the battle is won on our knees. The victory is won on our knees. It happens after you pray, or it happens after or as you are praying. In 2 Kings chapter 19, if you're turning there, a little quick background, King Hezekiah, the king of the people of God, they were having some opposition around them from the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were taking out people. I mean, they were just taking names. They were just taking out people. And so the Assyrians basically said, "Hey, King Hezekiah, we're going to come and get you and your people as well, the people of God, the Jewish people." And so he gets this note from King from this other king by the name of Sennacherib. Every time I read that Sennacherib, I'm like, man, that sounds like something you ought to eat. That sounds like a $2.99 lunch special or some Sennacherib special. That's his name. That's the best way I can pronounce it, Sennacherib. I'm not making that up. It's right in the Bible. But anyway, they get a note. He gets a note from this king of Assyria by the name of Sennacherib. And so he gets this note. And so Hezekiah is kind of stressed out. He's a little fearful. He's like, man, this is a mighty army. Just statistically speaking, this army is greater than our army. And so King Hezekiah did a very wise thing. King Hezekiah went before the Lord. And the Bible says he laid out the letter before the Lord. And here's what he said. And he read the letter to the Lord first. And then he began to pray to the Lord. And this is what he said in 2 Kings 19 and verse 16. He said, "Lord, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God." Basically, King Hezekiah, he said, God, this king of Assyria, he's really talking negative and bad about you, the living God. Because this is what it says. It's truly, Lord, the king of Syria have laid waste the nations and their lands. They've been beating up some other countries. Yeah. And they have cast their gods, little G-O-D, their gods into the fire. And for they were not gods at all anyway, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand. Because if you don't do it, dear God, it won't get done. Save us from his hand, the hand of the Assyrians, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. That's an awesome prayer. He had a dilemma. He had a problem. He had an issue that he couldn't handle on his own. He and the Jewish people could not defeat the Assyrians. So he said, God, this king, Sennacherib is talking all this noise. And really, they've been taking out other countries with these other little bitty gods. And really, they really saying they're going to come and do the same thing to you. So God, for your glory, for your name's sake, deal with these people that others might know that you are the true and living God. So he laid that before God. And then I won't have time to read it. I'll read it when you get home. But God responded back. God basically said he's going to take care of it. And then you go on toward the end of the chapter. I'm just saying that the battle is won on your knees. When you take that situation to God, God has a way of taking care of it. Sometimes he doesn't take care of it the way that we think he should or think he would. But guess what? Whatever he does is really better than what we would have envisioned anyway. And so he takes it to him, and the Lord answers, and look what happens. Look what happens in verse 35. After God had responded, verse 35 says, "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Somebody say 185,000. 185,000. One angel, the angel of the Lord. Some people assume this might have been the pre-incarnate Christ, but one angel, the angel of the Lord, came and killed 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. God can take care of your situation. There were 185,000 all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. He said, I better leave this God alone. I better leave these people alone. This God, we've conquered all kind of other countries and other gods, but this God right here, we better leave him alone. He's killed 185,000 of my men, so I'm going to leave him alone. The battle is won on your knees. Throughout the scripture, throughout the Psalms, Psalms 28 often talks about how the psalmist cries out to the Lord. And the Lord hears my cry, answers my cry, and delivers me out of all my troubles, delivers me out of all of my fears. We have a God that does hear and answer our cries. I said, we have a God that does hear and answer our cries. Time will not permit. I can just give you a long litany, a long list of things in my life where I've prayed to God, specific things, and I've seen God move in a mighty way. God hears and answers prayer. I've also prayed and seen God, quote unquote, not move. But then when I look back at it, when I look back on it, I'm like, I'm glad he didn't move the way I thought he should have moved in that situation. God is a mighty God. I said, God is a mighty God. Psalms 28 says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, if you are silent to me, I will become like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. And then Psalms 28, 6 says, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. Oh, let me read that again. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength, the psalmist says, and he's my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. God is a mighty helper. God is our shield. He's our strength. When we're talking about prayer, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, we have the prayer line there. So for about 3 months or so, we've been praying that and reciting that every day, and some other prayers too. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the Lord said, my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then the Lord said, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. And then I will heal their land. We serve a God who is anxious to hear and answer our prayers. This acronym, Sister Cousin put it in the bulletin last week, P-U-S-H, push. Y'all heard this before, push, P-U-S-H. When you think about prayer, like think about push, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. God is going to either change the situation or change you and me. So I don't always tell you that, hey, it's always going to go the way that you want it to go. Because look again when Jesus, once again, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord said, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Look at Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times. Lord, I remove this issue out of my life, whatever it was. He prayed 3 times. He prayed 3 times. Paul, a godly man, prayed 3 times. But guess what? God said no. But he didn't just say no. He said, Paul, I'm not going to remove it from you. I'm not going to remove this thing from you, Paul. But listen here, Paul. My grace is sufficient. I'm not going to move it, but I'm going to give you the grace to make it through it. God didn't always move it, but he gives you the grace and the strength to make it through it. So as we finish up this series on the full armor of God, you got to be reminded. You and I get to be reminded to pray on the armor of God daily. You got to pray on the belt of truth. You got to pray on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to pray on the shield of faith. You got to pray on the gospel of peace. You got to pray on the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. You got to pray on the helmet of salvation. Say, Lord, I got on your armor. I'm prayed up. So I'm ready for the enemy. I'm ready for the devil. I'm ready for the flesh. I'm ready for the world because I've prayed on your armor. I mentioned earlier when we pray, it's been said you need to pray to God through the Son and in the Spirit. So as you and I pray, we need to always be praying in Jesus' name. And that's more than just tacking it on right at the end. I mean, whatever we pray, we need to pray in the name of Jesus. In that whole mindset, even if you don't literally say it. I mean, we often say it, but when you are praying, when I'm praying, we pray in the name of Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. I said there's power in the name of Jesus. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. I mean, the lepers are cleansed at the name of Jesus. I mean, blind people receive their eyesight at the name of Jesus. Deaf people even hear at the name of Jesus. Even dead people were risen from the dead at the name of Jesus. So there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power as a child of God when we pray in the name of Jesus. Scripture tells that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Beloved, in Christ, guess what? We are the righteous. We've been justified. We've been declared righteous. Now, of course, admittedly, sometimes all of our acts are not righteous like they should be. But our judicial standing before God, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So since we have been justified, since we have been declared righteous, when you and I, the Lord tells us, he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He says you might obtain mercy. So when we don't pray as we should, we're really relinquishing or leaving grace and mercy that's really applicable to our lives, just leaving it out there on the floor, so to speak. God says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy, that you might obtain mercy for your souls. So as we go forward today in this spiritual battle, as we put on the armor of God, we got to pray it on. We got to pray without ceasing. We got to say, Lord, you know, I mean, my armor is getting a little, you know, it's a little shabby there. My shield is kind of down low. My helmet is keep coming off. My sword, I keep dropping the sword. So we got to pray it on and keep it on that we might walk boldly for the Lord and stand. I said, and stand. That's what Paul said. Paul said, stand therefore, and having done all, to stand. Christians, we shouldn't be like, when we face the world and face the culture, we shouldn't be like wimpy type people. The Bible says stand. Stand firmly. Be bold. Paul said be bold. Paul, now once again, I'm finishing, but Paul said I'm in prison, but I'm asking y'all to tell me that I keep being bold talking about Jesus. Not just bold talking about anything. He said I want to keep my boldness about the Lord. I don't want to get timid in my testimony. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm through. We want to keep the armor on. We want to pray it on. We want to pray fervently. We want to pray regularly. We want to pray with variety. We want to be submissive in our prayer life. And we want to be persistent in our prayer life. And as we pray, we want to pray for others as well.